There's a lot of mystery that surrounds today's gospel. First of all, the origin of this gospel. So what the gospel that we just heard, sometimes we kind of space out when we're hearing the readings. I've done that myself. So the gospel that we just heard has Jesus encountering the adulterer, or the woman who's caught in adultery. And there are a number of mysteries having to do with this passage. The first, I would say, is the mystery of the origin of this passage. Some of the most ancient manuscripts or the scriptures don't have this story in it. Some of those ancient manuscripts have this passage in a different part in John's gospel. Some of those manuscripts have it in Luke's gospel. The language that's used is different from the rest of John's gospel. So we don't really know who wrote this particular passage, or even where it came from, or how it ended up here in John's gospel. St. Augustine said maybe the reason that it was left out of some of the early manuscripts is because it's scandalously merciful. Jesus shows great mercy to a woman who's done something very wrong. He lets her go and simply instructs her not to sin anymore. This passage is subject to debate among religious people and theologians. I'll never forget, I was at this wedding reception, and somehow I ended up sitting across from, I was in the seminary, and I ended up sitting across from a seminarian from one of the Protestant churches, from a very liberal Protestant church. And somehow we were talking about sexual morality, and he was actually living with a person that he wasn't married to, which is a sin, but he didn't consider it a sin. And he was talking about how the Bible actually isn't very clear when it comes to sexual morality. And then he gave this as an example. He said, well, because that passage in John where Jesus seems to condemn adultery or calls it a sin, we don't even know if that's supposed to be in the Bible or not. And I embarrassed myself by saying something I shouldn't have. It involved a swear word. But I said, no, the church determines what's in this, what's scriptural or not. We don't go back and say, well, this passage, it's, you know, there's this history, ambiguous history about it. We don't decide what's scriptural. The church decides what's scriptural. And the church is very clear, or the church, the scriptures that the church gives us, including this passage, is very clear on what God wants for us in terms of sexual morality. So anyway, this passage was subject of a little controversy in my own life, kind of embarrassing myself at this wedding reception. But it's a mystery where exactly this passage comes from. Even within the passage itself, there are some mysterious things about it. The Mosaic Law says that a couple who are caught committing, adultery, are deserving of capital punishment by stoning. So it's a very harsh penalty for this and for other sins, according to the Mosaic Law. One of the interesting things about this passage is that we're told that the woman was caught in the act of adultery, but for whatever reason, we don't have the man here. And obviously, it takes two to tango. So there was a man who was also caught in adultery, who apparently was let free. It just makes the whole thing seem like a setup. The Pharisees' concern is not about the sin itself, but about trapping Jesus. And so they ask Jesus then to essentially judge. They stage a little trial where they want Jesus to be the judge. And it's a lose-lose situation for Jesus, because if he says, yes, go ahead and stone this woman, he would get in trouble with the Roman authorities, who said that the Jews did not have the right to execute anyone. If Jesus says, no, you should let her go free, well, then he seems to be contradicting the law, and the Pharisees and scribes would make hay out of that. So Jesus is in this very precarious situation, but very deftly, as always, Jesus is able to handle what the Pharisees are trying to do, and by throwing it back at them. They were trying to make him the judge. Well, he says, will you be the judge? You who are without sin, be the first to throw the stone. And of course, none of them are without sin, like none of us are without sin. And so each one laid down their stone and walked away. Another mystery within the text is what Jesus does right before he says, let him who does not have sin throw the first stone. He leans over and he starts writing in the ground. And we don't know what he's doing there. It's a mysterious thing. The fathers of the church had different opinions about what that might have been. Saint Jerome said that Jesus was writing the sins, or the mortal sins, of the accusers, of the Pharisees, down on the ground. And then he says, you who are without sin, and they're watching him write their own sins on the ground. And so they turn away. But it's a mystery what exactly Jesus is doing there. This weekend, I was kind of reflecting on the mystery of the placement of this gospel in the lectionary. Because it's the fifth Sunday of Lent, and that's a pretty important Sunday, because next Sunday we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday. So next Sunday we'll hear, the Mass will open with the gospel of the triumphal entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. And then later on in the Mass, we'll hear the Passion story according to St. Luke. And this Sunday is really supposed to get us ready for Holy Week. And the Church gives us this particular reading. And I was noticing that the gospel writer gives us a seemingly random and unimportant detail, and that's where Jesus was right before he shows up in Jerusalem at the temple. It tells us that Jesus was at the Mount of Olives. So the Mount of Olives is an important place. We can think about what else happens at the Mount of Olives, which is where the Garden of Gethsemane is, right outside of the city of Jerusalem. And of course, it's there in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives that Jesus is going to begin to suffer his passion. He suffers terrible anxiety and anguish, so much that he sweats blood over what is about to happen to him. And so what's very interesting about this passage is that we're given this detail that Jesus goes to is in the Mount of Olives. And then we have some things that kind of remind us of some of the things about the Passion story. So for instance, Jesus then goes into Jerusalem, which is where he goes after the agony in the garden. He goes now he's forcibly taken into the city of Jerusalem. And we're told then that in this story, the woman who's forcibly brought is now standing trial. And Jesus, of course, when he's brought into Jerusalem, he stands trial. And we're told in this passage that the woman is placed, again, a detail that doesn't really seem necessary, but the gospel writer tells us that the woman was placed in the middle between the Pharisees who were accusing her and Jesus. And John tells us that Jesus, when he was placed upon the cross, was also placed in the middle between two thieves. And so it seems like the gospel writer is actually trying to point to something here, giving us these parallels between what's happening in this scene and what's going to be happening when Jesus is his final resting in Jerusalem, which is his passion. And if we think about it with this woman was found in the act of committing adultery. She's guilty. And she was guilty of a sin deserving death. She's put on trial and found innocent. Jesus, forcibly taken into Jerusalem, stands trial. Jesus is the innocent one. He's never done anything wrong. But yet Jesus stands trial and is found guilty. The woman was supposed to suffer death for the sin that she did commit. Jesus does suffer death for the sins that he never committed. And so we begin to see a deeper meaning here behind this passage, that the gospel is actually showing us what is actually happening in Jesus' passion and how it involves us, because we're all sinners here. Jesus says to the Pharisees who are accusing her and wanting her killed for her sins, he says, Well, the first, you who are without sin, throw the first stone. But he could say that to all of us. We all would have to lay down our stone and walk away. We're all guilty, just like the woman is guilty for our sins that we've committed against our loving God, who's infinitely merciful and great and good. We deserve eternal death for the sins that we've committed. Jesus, though, takes on the guilt of our sins and suffers for us. He suffers the penalty that we deserve for our sins by going all the way to his death on the cross, even though he's innocent. So this gospel actually shows us why the woman can go free. It's not because of a lack of justice, because Jesus is going to suffer the just consequences of sin. So the reason that she's able to go free is because of what he's going to do, that he is going to actually suffer death for her so she doesn't have to. And this is true for you and me too. Because of what Jesus does for us on the cross, that we don't have to suffer eternal punishment for our sin and eternal death, but Jesus suffers that for us so that we can have life. In our first reading, we heard this so beautifully today when the prophet says, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new." This is what Jesus did for the woman. She doesn't have to consider her past sins anymore. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven her. And this is what Jesus does for us too. In the desert, I make a way. In the wasteland, rivers. The people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. You know, one of the most interesting things about this passage is that Israel in the Old Testament has one particular depiction that runs throughout all of the prophets, and that is that Israel is a woman who's been unfaithful to her husband, a woman who has committed adultery. So in this very passage, we see how God is going to respond to Israel, who's been unfaithful, not by making Israel get what she deserve, but rather by giving his own son, who's going to take her place, taking on the consequences of her sins so that she can have life. So there's actually hardly a better passage that could bring us into Holy Week. These are the very mysteries that we're going to celebrate Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, Easter Sunday. So today as we meet Jesus, we meet the same one who treated this woman with scandalously great mercy. Jesus wants us to know that this mercy is available for all of us if we turn back to him, repent of our sins, and ask for forgiveness. Let's ask for the grace this Lent to have converted hearts, to ask the Lord for the grace of his forgiveness, that we might experience this new life that he gave to the adulterous woman.